Hey everybody, welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. This is episode 320. This is a very special episode for various reasons. We'll get into all of that shortly. Today's episode is brought to you by the Gooman Entertainment Patreon. I always want to say Gooman Entertainment Podcast. Brought to you by the Gooman Entertainment Patreon. Go ahead and check that out. There's a link in the description below. Make sure you like and subscribe and all that other fun stuff. A few folks I have to thank automatically off the bat for being here tonight. I have to thank Marcus and Captain Lennox for joining us for this very, very special occasion. Give me one second. I'm getting a phone call. Happy 9/11! September 11th! It's America's birthday! Happy birthday, America! How's everybody doing tonight? We have a lot of things to talk about. We're recording this on 9/11. This should go up about 9:13? 9:14? I'm gonna hit you with a positive. I wanna get right on and do it right now, right this very second. This is episode 320. And I'm no math magician, but if my math is correct, this is exactly the same amount of episodes that I did with somebody, without somebody. Olive's last episode was episode 160. And I know that sounds bonkers if you've been here this whole time to hear 160 associated with this. But we're at 320. So 150 would be 3, so maybe my math is completely off and I missed it by 5 episodes, but for me, when she left was 160. I believe that episode was called A One-Man Show. Not realizing that it was going to become a full-time one-man show, I really didn't know what was going on. I do have to give Kyle a shout-out. When that happened, Kyle was the only person for about a month. I believe it was 4 episodes. I think it's 164 where I announced she's not coming back. I believe that episode is called A Pack of Cigarettes. Those 4 episodes, Kyle sat with me in a Discord call on silent just to be there, just in case I needed to talk to somebody or if I forgot something, because it was entirely me. I just wanted to say thank you. Like, that's not something I think I've ever told anybody, like on the show, off the show, friend. Like, I don't think I've, like, that's a thing that stood between me and Kyle. I love Kyle. Kyle's one of my best friends. With my entire heart, I genuinely love him. I wish we talked more, but he's got his own shit going on. I got my own shit going on. I don't really play video games anymore. So, you know, it's hard for us to find time. I got to see him briefly when I was home. I have some things of his somewhere around these parts. But all that to be said, this is the other half. After this episode, I've done more episodes by myself than not. And I think the show has gotten better. I think the show has taken a different format, which I think is a completely different thing. But, you know, I've come a long way doing the show. And I'm just super happy that you guys are here with me. I'm happy you guys have supported all this time. This show means a whole hell of a lot to me. And I'm happy that it means a whole hell of a lot to somebody somewhere, or at least a whole hell of a little. Like, as long as somebody's thinking about it in some capacity, I'm really, really honored to be a part of that, about of your life, of the community that is Fallout. I love you guys. True and real. A lot. And now for something a little more sad. Something that I'm actually really sorry to talk about. The real Kank, K-A-N-K, on Twitter posted, "Hello everyone, I am Emily Darman, Jason Darman's The Storyteller's daughter. I just wanted to share that on Saturday, September 7th, my father passed away after a horrible year of health. He was diagnosed with stage 4 adrenal cancer that spread to his liver." So, I don't know about you, but a big thing that was for Fallout lore for me, especially because I never played any of the Fallout New Vegas DLC. Can we focus, camera, please? There we go. I never played the DLC till I was much older, was about how the Storyteller videos would come out and Austin Horrigan became a big part of them, and how it just kind of seemed like lightning in a bottle, those videos. The Storyteller had, you know, his custom suit of power armor, and he was a paladin of the Brotherhood in some capacity, and there was a story there. Those videos, before they got super serialized, like before they had their own story, when they were just segments of Fallout lore, were huge for me in high school. And then once Austin Horrigan started doing a podcast that like led up to four, all that stuff was very heavy in my rotation of YouTube video. Just, it's such a special thing from such a special time. Who is texting me at this hour? It's just a piece of my childhood that I remember. I remember being in my childhood home, being in the basement and watching on an iPod Touch like this, like coming up the steps from doing laundry or maybe working out. I might have been running because that's when I first really got into running. Was we had a treadmill in my basement. I was just going. And maybe I was watching those videos while I was running, but I remember coming wearing a white t-shirt, much like the one I have on now. Just coming out of the basement, watching those videos, and someone from Shoddy Cast had followed us early on. And I remember Olive and I freaking the out that they recognized us in some capacity, because I'm a big believer that we are just trying to emulate what we love. And I know that's like the, we stand on the shoulders of giants, that type shit. I get that. But like, we're all just trying to emulate things that we love. Like, think about what you do for a job. Think about what you do in your personal time. How much of that is inspired by one person who just really got to you, really touched your soul, really made you feel appreciated in some way, right? And I'm saying this on like a very personal level, but this is like, I think if you were making YouTube videos right now in some capacity, you are trying to emulate the angry video game nerd. Genuinely. Like, I just think you're trying to ape his stuff a little bit, because it's, his stuff is pure, like especially the early stuff is pure for the sake of creation. It's just creation for creation's sake. You know what I mean? Like, it's, he was passionate about something. He was passionate about filmmaking. He was passionate about Nintendo games. And then now it's a thing that's been going on for, I believe, almost 20 years. I think 2026 is 20 years. He's been doing it for 18 years. And he's made a career off it, and he employed his friends, and that's what creating should be. It should be that. And even if you're using something that you love, it's something that you love, and your art is funneled through it. I do a podcast. It's not high art. There's an artistry to it because it's entertaining. It's entertainment. But I'm not, you know, this show will never be at the Bellagio. But I'm just emulating the people that came before me that I loved. And the storyteller being gone, even though there hasn't been a new storyteller episode since, I believe, 2017. And, you know, that's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, you know, 7 years ago. Wow, that's easy math. Why the fuck did I have to count? Whatever, public school, right? You know, it's it's a thing that's gone, that the idea is always there of something will come back. And now we just know that it won't. Because you can't replace a voice quite like that. So I'd like to get just a moment of silence for Jason Darman, the voice of the storyteller. Thanks, guys. And while we're talking about the sad, I want to just talk about a character who we all know, we all love, from New Vegas. Nobark Noonan, voiced by Peter Renaday. He was most known for his voice of Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the series that ran from 87 to 96, the original Turtles. He did Shredder, but he also did Nobark Noonan. And Nobark is one of those characters that I feel like everybody needs to run in twice. The first time when you meet him, the second time when you look him up and hear the fan theory that he's actually the chosen one from Fallout 2. And then just look at everything he has in Novak. I don't have as much to say about Peter Renaday that I did for Jason Drummond, but, you know, it's very sad to see that two people in one day were announced that they had passed. It was announced that they had passed away, who were so tightly knit to the Fallout community. Oh, my bad. He's also Easy Pete. Damn, like, probably more important than Nobark Noonan. Wow, that sucks. He was 89 years old. Oh, and I'm reading these comments because I'm trying to find out what he died of. They took Darth Vader from us, too. How funny the year that I, not funny, haha, but like how funny the year that I finally get into Star Wars, Darth Vader's dead. James Earl Jones died as well, 93 years old. What a sad week this was. Wow. Sorry, there's been a lot of death. Let's change that. Let's look at this positively. It's not that there's been a lot of death. There's been a lot of change. And change can be a good thing. Change can be a bad thing, but change, in my mind, predominantly should be seen as a good thing. Change for the better, great. Change for the worse, we have a way that we could improve it. Just the way I like to look at it. So I'd really like to get into today's Fallout lore. Before I do that, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show can continue to grow and get bigger and better. And if you like the show, consider checking out the link in the description below to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, because you, yes, you could watch these episodes live every single week at the $10 tier, the Film Live 4 Studio audience tier. There's two folks here tonight who I thanked earlier in the program, and I have to thank again Marcus, Captain Lennox, thank you again. But they're going to get another shout out in just a moment. Starting from the top, there should be a list of names on screen right now of people who support the show. And starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus, who again is here tonight. Thank you, sir. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. After Mellow Milhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you, Captain Lennox, who again is here in the house, in the mother effing place to be. Thank you. You. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. Because of their support, the show continues to grow and get better. And it's a pleasure to have you guys here. Exciting things coming. These next few months for me are going to be incredibly busy and hopefully incredibly filled with stuff to do and to see. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. So for today's Fallout lore, I wanted to take it back, all the way back, to the OG. I wanted to go to Fallout 1, and I have a really busy week coming up, I'll be honest. So I needed something that was going to be fun, something that was going to be different, and something that was going to be a little more on the easy side. And I went to the Patreon and I asked a question. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but I lied a little bit. I'm really, really sorry. I asked, what character from Vault 13 would you like to hear about? And it was all of them. I just put all the protagonists, the pre-made protagonists you can choose from. We're going to talk about all of them. We're not just going to talk about one of them. So if you'd like to hear any lore from the Fallout series, and I mean any lore whatsoever, check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. Down there, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a lore poll question, and you have your voice heard when it comes time to pick a piece of Fallout lore. And this week, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I am bringing you the lore on the three pre-made characters that you can choose from in Fallout 1, or Fallout the post-nuclear role-playing game, if you don't feel like making your own character.
Do your best. Remember, we're all counting on you.
So I like the idea of these characters being genuine characters inside of Vault 13. We don't really get to know much about the characters inside of the vaults that we come from, unless it's Vault 101, where there's a cast of characters. You get to meet Wally Mack, Susie Mack, Butch. You get to meet the Overseer, Amata, the rest of the Mack family, Paul Hannon, you know, a bunch of people. Like, you get to meet a colorful cast of characters. But these three characters are left ambiguous because you're supposed to embody them, but also they give you a slight bit of story. And we're going to be talking about three: Max Stone, Albert Cole, and Natalia Dombrowski. They're all dwellers inside of Vault 13 in the year 2161, and we're going to start first with Max Stone. Max Stone's vault identification number is 208-197-88-125, and he is 23 years old. And from the official survival guide, Fallout's official survival guide from the first game, called Stone by his friends, Max is the biggest, strongest, and toughest guy in the vault. Unfortunately, he is a little bit lacking in the brains department. He's the biggest guy inside of Vault 13. They talk about him on the wiki, where I get all of my lore, the Fallout wiki, fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. They talk about him as if he's this just behemoth of a man, the biggest guy that could possibly be in there, as wide as he is tall, but he has a neuronatal injury that happened when a labor bot dropped him on his head. He's a character, he actually reminds me of my friend Pete quite a bit, and I don't mean that like in a bad way. Pete's a very smart guy, but Pete is a fucking brick shit house. I love Pete. Pete, if you see this, I love you, but you are just a monster human, and he's also like a scientist. So he, physically, in physical stature, Pete Max Stone is reminiscent of Pete in my head. But that being said, Pete is such a big dude. He's the only guy that I've ever met that's had the ability to pick me up. my big ass. So Pete's a very large individual, and I love him. In the Fallout demo, he's the only playable character, but his strength and his endurance are one skill lower, one stat lower, and his bruiser trait is switched with the jinxed trait. Secondly, we have Albert Cole, who is pretty much the de facto protag. It's not said that, like, oh yeah, it's Albert, but it's kind of like through promotional material, you see Albert's face or a face akin to Albert's face. So he kind of became like the protag, even though he's not the protag. Albert is 27 years old, and his vault identification number is 208-206-49-227. And the Fallout official survival guide says Albert's strength lies in his ability to communicate. He's a good negotiator, and people often believe what he says, no matter how outrageous it might be. In an earlier age, he would have been either a con artist or a lawyer. My kind of guy. This is the kind of character that I always play. I always play a charismatic character. I love the idea of walking in saying "F you," and then they pay you. He was the leader of a very vocal yet very small group of vault dwellers that wanted to leave the vault and enter the outside. Early Fallout 3 screenshots show that the Fallout 3 protagonist's name is Albert, which could be an allusion to the original Albert Cole from Fallout 1. Maybe. I think after that they start calling him Howard. I think one of the names later on is Howard. I think when we played Fallout D&D privately, not for the show or anything, his name was Albert Howard or Albert Neeson, I believe. Or maybe she was a woman. We referred to a character as Albert because of this. And I think even when I made my most recent Fallout 3 character that I got the achievement for all the achievements on 360 on Xbox on my account, I believe I named him Albert as well. So maybe that's what I'm thinking of. The name Albert might be a reference to the film and the book A Boy and His Dog written by Harlan Ellison. Because Blood, the dog, will often call the boy Vic Albert, even though that's not his real name. So maybe they got that from there. And lastly, we have to talk about Natalia Dombrowski, who is 17 years old. Her vault identification number is 208-206-49-229. Fallout official survival guide says, and I quote, "Natalia is an extremely bright and resourceful character. She is also something of a night person who gets around better after dark." She's the granddaughter of a Soviet diplomat who is given a spot in California's Vault 13. So a Soviet was given a spot for whatever reason. We're not really sure, but it adds more to the world that I think we ever needed. Even in the Fallout show, there's that one shot where we get to see a Soviet satellite crash. We see Lucy and Viltzig sit down with the dog, and then they chop off his fucking head. So it's nice to know that the Soviets are still being represented in a weird way. Like, even just reading this and saying this out loud, I'm realizing that we're seeing representation from Fallout 1 in the show that we never really would have saw. Even if it's something small, which is a total, don't get me wrong, like, I totally get him grasping at straws with this one, just to be able to see a Soviet satellite doesn't really mean much, but why was that satellite over the US? When did it go down? These are questions that I have. She's intelligent, resourceful, and extremely coordinated, and all the NPCs have a haircut kind of similar to what she has going on. Now, that is more or less what I have on these three pre-built pro tags from Fallout, a nuclear role-playing game. These are characters that I would love to see incorporated in later things. Like maybe Albert Cole's grandson we get to meet at some point. There's in the PS2 Xbox game, Fallout Brotherhood of Steel, you can unlock a character that has the Vault 13 cantina or canteen, the flask, but it's implied that it's Albert, but it's not, because in Fallout 2, the Chosen One would have his grandfather's flask, so it doesn't, it's just there for like, oh, look at this little reference. But that's really all I have. They're interesting characters. They've only ever shown up in the first game, and they're pre-mates. So they could have been your character, or they could have been just other dwellers. But I hope you've enjoyed that, because that is this week's lore. All right, everybody, so we got to talk about something really important in the world of videos, James, for the third and final segment. But I'd like to start by saying real quick, there will not be an episode next week, a live one or a recorded one. I have something very, very important that I have to handle. It's very important to me. It's very important to the people around me. And it's something that I've been working on for a very long time in my personal life. And I have to take care of it. I will be able to talk more about it in the future. I am safe. Everyone is safe. There are just things that need to be attended to. And because of all my computer troubles, I just didn't put two and two together. There will be more recorded episodes in the future, though, and I'm sorry this year I had to skip a few episodes, but it's been a stressful few months. I appreciate you for sticking with me, and I appreciate you for being patient with me, but there will not be an episode next week. There will be one the following. Now, let's talk about something that I feel like is super-duper important right now, and that's video games. And I prefer console gaming, right? I think console gaming is the way to go. I like the idea of having a machine that does one thing. My computer, you know, I could do my taxes, I could email a friend, I could watch some adult content, I could start a podcast. But my Xbox is for video games. And I've been thinking about getting a PS5 for a while, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll get the Pro. I'll wait for the Pro. I'll wait for GTA 6 because my friends are all going to get GTA 6 and we're going to play GTA Online together. And then, you know, I'll have it for when The Last of Us 3 comes out. All this good stuff, right? Well, they announced it. It's got a bigger GPU. It's got more storage. It's got a couple extra things. It's $700. It's $700. It's one of the most expensive releases I've ever seen in my entire life. It's $700. Why? Why? It doesn't come with the disk drive, meaning that I'd have to... So here's this. Doesn't come with the vertical stand, and it doesn't come with the disk drive. The vertical stand is $30. The disk drive is $80. So that's $820 before tax is even brought up. And that's like $9 and change at that point. I don't like putting my consoles on the side if I don't have to. I prefer to stand them up. I like the way they look standing up most of the time, if that's the way that they were intended to be designed. The PS2, feel like it looks better horizontal. PS4, better horizontal. PS5, looks better standing up. Looks vertical better. Same thing with the Series X. Yeah, and Marcus makes a really good point. People will pay that and more, and that's what's going to happen. I'm kind of hoping that if I ever, like, I just don't think I'm ever going to get a PS5. At this point, I just don't think I'm going to get a PS5 because the PS5 original one with the disc drive is not going to go down in price. That's going to be $5, and the other one is going to be $7. And the CEO of Blizzard made a statement about it that I read on Twitter that was like, it's not a $700 console, it's a $350 upgrade. Because people are going to trade in their PS5s for that. If I wind up getting a PS5, it's going to be probably used because I need a disc drive. I refuse to not have physical media in my life. Refuse. Fuck that. I want to own shit. And it sucks because I have to buy a game, install the game, download it, whatever. It's not like the 360 era or the PS2 era, the GameCube, where you pop a game in, there you go. You bought a cartridge, your game was on the MF and cartridge. You know, now it's all this other shit, but I would prefer to feel like I had bought something. Yes, my license can be taken away at any point in time, but also I'm a fan of how shit looks on a shelf. My decor in my apartment is my stuff. I don't have posters. I have a couple flags. I have a few posters, but like, I don't have photos. I have stuff. I have books. I have records. I have CDs. I have cassette tapes. I have video games. That's the shit that is important to me. That's the shit that I have. That's what I show off when people come over. You know what I'm saying? So like, the idea of not getting a disc drive is bonkers, but also like, you know what? Anybody at home, anybody watching the show live right now have a calculator they have access to? Let me see if I can grab one. Hold on. I believe sales tax in Colorado is 8%, right? So let's just do some quick math. Nope. Let's do some quick math, right? 700 plus 80, right? So 780 plus 30 is 810. 810 times 0.08. That's an extra $64. Plus $810. You're $875. You're paying $875. You're paying almost $900. You're almost paying rent for some people. And rent is more expensive than it's ever been. But that's rent for some people. If you have roommates, that's probably double your rent. If you can save up for that and feel good about it, then go right ahead. I'm never going to stop you. It's your money. You're allowed to spend your money how you want. I bought the Hitman games 3 days ago. I've barely got to play it. But I bought those because I like those games, and they're perfect games to play for 40 minutes to an hour and get off. And, you know, that was my money that I chose to spend in that manner. The PlayStation 5 being $800 is insane. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't have to be $800. I want it to be $800 because I want a disc drive. I want a vertical stand. There's a guy who, he goes by Mayer. I don't know his real name. He's like a sneaker collector guy. He's got like a big Instagram and like a big following because he collects sneakers and shit. He's got like a wing in his house that's just for shoes. He has a saying that I love, and it's something is only worth as much as your dumbass is willing to pay. And my dumbass is not willing to pay that much for a PlayStation 5. I hope you guys have enjoyed this week's episode. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 320. 160 episodes by myself. Thank you for joining us. My name has been Vince. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. If you like his music, you could check it out. There's a link in the description below, silvermansounds.com/free music, where you can get Feather Duster or all of his free heaters. Again, I want to shout out the Patreon. Thank you guys for being here tonight. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Captain Lennox. You guys are the best. I appreciate you. While you're in the comments, check it, or the description, checking out all the fun links, make sure you check out my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter while you're down there. There's also a link to the Redbubble. I love you guys very, very much. Thank you for being here for the first 160 episodes. Thank you for being here for the next 160 episodes. And here's to another 160 episodes. I love you guys very, very much. I'll be seeing you very, very soon. Please take care of yourselves. Please be safe. Please say no to drugs. I love you, and I bid you adieu. And that's the episode.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.